Amen. Amen. Go ahead and grab your seats. And as you do, turn into the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4. And if you don't have a Bible, you can open up an app on your phone called YouVersion, the Bible app. Click in the bottom right-hand corner, which will then take you to the top right-hand corner to the hamburger menu. Click there, and then events on the next page, and then go to Restoration Church. And there you'll find all the passages that we're going to be looking at today. And actually, we're only looking at one today out of Acts chapter 4. And this past week, I invited you to read a chapter a day in the book of Acts, Acts 1 through 7. And as we move forward into the next week, if you're doing that, continue to read a chapter of Acts a day. So it's Acts 8 through, what is that, 15? I believe if my math is correct. Just reading one chapter a day and specifically looking how the church prayed. And we talked about prayer last week. And even, you know, what we're doing isn't just another little program. It's not something to fill our time. It's all about intimacy with the Father and a relationship with the Father. And we looked last week at the man Elijah in the Old Testament about how God moved in a powerful way. And then we see in James chapter 5 that Elijah was no different than us. In fact, Scripture says Elijah was a man just like us, and he prayed. And God heard his prayers and answered. And I would even argue that Elijah looked forward to what we have in the New Testament as believers of Jesus, the Holy Spirit living inside of us. The Holy Spirit was at work in the Old Testament, but we, even more so than Elijah, have the Holy Spirit living in us, remaining with us. And what an absolute gift. And this morning, we want to continue to talk about prayer and specifically being a people of prayer, because that is who we have wanted to be from the very beginning. And frankly, it's the vision and the mission that Jesus has for his church. Because Jesus said shortly before he went to the cross, he looked at the temple and he was overturning tables and he said, my house will be a house of prayer for all nations, a house of prayer. And I look at that as it being a house, a people of prayer, people who walk in such dependence on the Lord, in such intimacy with the Lord, day by day, wherever we go, just talking with the Lord, like he's our best friend, because he is. And so this morning, we're going to look at the church in Acts chapter 4, and frankly, how they prayed over and over again. And my desire for my life, and I'm going to talk about this just in the next couple of minutes, my desire for my life, and I know for your life, is as we experience external challenges, external pressures, things on the outside, that our inner lives would be so much stronger than anything that exists on the outside. That anything that exists on the outside. Because Jesus even said, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. And he said these things with his disciples towards the end of his earthly life. He said this so that they would have peace in the midst of this world. And Jesus even said, come to me, all who are weary, all who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. And so there's this constant invitation by Jesus himself to come away with him, to have our inner lives be so much stronger than anything that this world would throw at us. Even John 15. Jesus' simple command, something that we struggle with. And Jesus simply said this, abide in me, remain in me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. And there is this constant invitation that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit give to us just to come and sit and be with them. I remember years ago, I was talking to a friend of mine named Ron. And I was invited over to his house. This was in 2021, late 2020. Ron, in the midst of COVID in those years, was diagnosed with cancer. And as the world kind of shut down and people isolated and were all kind of by themselves, here was a man who was diagnosed with cancer sitting alone in his house. And I went over there one day and I walked down the hallway, walked into Ron's bedroom, and there he was laying on his bed. Ron was a big man, huge man, like 6'4", broad shoulders, big gauges in his ear. You can tell that Ron had had a tough life. And there he was laying in his bed. And I sat up next to him. And in all honesty, anytime that I get invited into those spaces or anytime that I'm in those spaces, it's such a holy moment. It's such a privilege and such an honor. And there I sat next to Ron and we just talked about his life. He opened up again how he spent 13 years in AA. And he talked about those amazing years. And he talked about relapsing after 13 years. But then God coming and getting a hold of his heart, rescuing him, and then spending another 16 years in AA. He opened up to the big book that was just next to his bed, and he read one of his favorite passages or favorite the sentences that talked about being given the gift now to go and rescue others, to go help others. And he pointed with his finger and he says, "Dave, that's what I just wanted my life to be about." He shared stories, and his wife was there as well, and he shared stories of how he would go to an early AA meeting, 7:30 in the morning, and he would hear of guys who needed a ride. And so he would go all around Holland area picking up guys, often starting at 5:30 in the morning, just going and picking them up because they didn't have rides, because he wanted his life to make a difference. He wanted to be somebody who served over and over and over again. He even said, like, "There's no greater purpose in my life than this." Ron was a big, tough man. We were talking about just different things. And we even joked one time, as he was laying in bed. A big smile came to his face. And I wish you could see it, because he had big gauges in his ear. And again, a big man. And he was so big. And he shared this story about one Sunday morning before my family went to church, saw him at Big B. And my son Zane was like a little kid. And again, Ron was a big man. And Zane, in his, you know, just youthfulness, looked at Ron and said, "Wow, you're fat." And Ron, there laying there, just got the biggest grin, just was chuckling about that. And he goes, "Yep, I am." But there he was. We opened up to Romans 8 and laying there. We read that, talking about there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we ended it with, "There's no separation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And I looked at that man who just hours later would be face to face with Jesus after passing from this life into the next. And I looked at him and I'm like, there's a man who, even though his outward life is falling apart, there is an inner strength that is powerful. Inwardly, though, even outwardly he was wasting away, inwardly, day by day, he was being renewed. Why? Because these momentary pain and suffering that he was going through paled in comparison to the glory that was awaiting for him. And I just looked at Ron, and I just think about his life even now, and I'm like, that's what I desire, is for our internal lives to be greater than the external. Because we know, as we think about things that happen all around us, we know life gets crazy. We know this world gets crazy. We know that situations get crazy. And we can go down so many different roads. But the goal is, and the promise of our Savior is, that as we walk with him, there can be an inner peace that surpasses all understanding. I think about the person who wrote the famous song It As Well, Horatio Spafford. Many of you know his story. Losing his son in a fire in Chicago. And sending his wife and girls, daughters, overseas. And there, as they were crossing the sea, got into a shipwreck. Boat went down, and he got a text. They didn't have text messages at that time. Got a message from his wife that simply said, "Saved alone." His daughters had passed away in the shipwreck. And there, as he crossed the Atlantic over to be reunited with his wife, as he crossed over that very spot where the ship went down, losing his daughters in a shipwreck, he wrote these words up on the screen, that famous, famous hymn, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul." And that's the desire. And I look at so many of you in this room who have faced adversity, who have faced tragedy, who have faced challenges. And I can honestly say there are Horatio Spaffords in our midst. There's other Rons in our midst, people with an internal life that is fiercely strong, even though their outward life is filled with chaos. And you know what? This was even Jesus' life, the life that he modeled. Jesus, man, there was so much going on around him, but what did he do every single day? He went away with the Father. Before his biggest decisions, picking his 12 disciples who would follow him, who would walk with him, who would talk with him, he went away and prayed with the Father all night. Even as people would ask him questions like, "Well, how do you do what you do? Like, how do you do all of this?" And he said, "I just do what I see my Father doing." He talked about this life of walking with his Father. Even so much so that his disciples looked at his life, his 12 followers looked at his life, and they would see him go away to pray. And they probably were like, "Hey, where's Jesus again?" "Oh yeah, he's praying." But they saw that, and in one time in Luke 11, they approached him and they said, Jesus, will you teach us how to pray? Will you teach us how to do what you do? And here's the crazy thing. These young men already knew how to pray. They knew the form. They knew the structure. They were raised in an education system that taught prayer, but they saw something different in Jesus. They saw that there was this relationship, this depth of knowing between the Father and the Son. And they're like, we want that. And here's the amazing thing. Jesus taught them how to pray. He said, oh, I'll show you. And he gave us the words to pray. But even more than that, he gave us the heart behind prayer. And I simply is keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Having a persistent life of prayer. See, prayer isn't just going away and just blah, 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 blah. I look at the life of Jesus, and prayer is all about knocking, seeking, pursuing the Lord. Like, I want to hear from you. I need to hear from you. I'm desperate for you. And here's the amazing thing to you. His followers actually did it. They just didn't hear the teaching and be like, okay, that's a nice teaching on prayer. They, even when he went and ascended into heaven, this is how they lived all throughout the book of Acts. They're praying over and over again. He told them, hey, before the Holy Spirit comes, I want you to stay, remain in Jerusalem. And what do? They are devoted to prayer. They're up in the upper room, devoted to one another, united to one another, and they're praying over and over again. All throughout the book of Acts, they come together regularly to pray. And the one prayer that I just come back to over and over again is in Acts chapter 4. And I want us to look at this and just really ask the question, like, how did they pray? What can we see in their prayers? And building up to this prayer in Acts chapter 4, at the beginning of Acts chapter 3, we find that Peter and John get into a little bit of trouble. They're actually going to the temple to pray. Now, I think that they're going to the temple too to have conversations about Jesus, but they're also going to the temple to pray, which was their custom to do. And as they go there, they find a man who's begging at the entrance. He's lame. He couldn't walk. He hadn't walked for many, many years. And they're asking Peter and John, they're like, hey, can you give us some money? And they look at him and they say, hey, we haven't had a job in 3 years. We don't have any money. We don't have anything to give you. But here, what we do give you, we want to give you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And they prayed for them right then and there. And he was healed in an instant. Which reminds me that you might not have financial resources. You might not have much, but you always have something to give. You always have something to give. As somebody who's asking for something, you always have an opportunity to pray and to speak words of life into somebody. And so anyway, this man was healed, and then he got up and he started dancing and jumping around, and people are like, whoa, what just happened? And Peter, seizing that opportunity, shares the gospel, because the healing isn't for healing's sake. It's all about the Lord. It's all unto Jesus. And so he proclaims the gospel, and thousands of people put their faith in Jesus. Well, the same people that crucified Jesus, they're like, oh, we don't like this. What's going on? So they grab Peter and John. They're like, how are you doing this? And Peter and John are like, hey, we're not doing some nice little thing. This is all the power of Jesus. And they share the gospel again. And they say there's salvation in no one else. And again, the rulers are like, they're looking at Peter and John. And they're so confused. So confused, because here they see that there's just some ordinary, unschooled men. Like, they're ordinary, unschooled men. They're like, these guys are nothing. They shouldn't be doing this. But they did take notice about one thing. These men had been with Jesus. And they looked at them and they're like, again, how is this happening? Because the man that was healed was standing right by them. Just imagine this picture. Peter and John speaking boldly. And here's this guy who used to be laying on the ground going, hey, I'm here. Hey, I'm healed. And there's no one could argue it, because they saw it face to face. And so they're asking Peter and John, how did you do this? But they also tortured them and said, hey, we want you to shut up. Stop talking about Jesus. Now, what would you do in that situation if you were persecuted, if you were told to be quiet about the name of Jesus? If you were told by the authorities, the governing authorities, that you had to be quiet, what would be your response? I know my response. I might start complaining or criticizing. But instead of that, look at what believers do. Look at what happened as soon as they were released. Instead of criticizing and complaining, they cry out to the Lord. Verse 23 says, when they were released, they went to their friends. Let me just stop here. Sorry. They went to their friends. Underline that in your Bible. They went to their friends. I think that is often overlooked. They went to their friends. They went to their community. They went to people who could support them. You need friends in your life. You need people in your life because life will throw you curveballs. Life will throw you challenges. You need a place where you are seen and known. And that, again, is our heart's desire at Restoration Church. I love that I was talking to a family this morning that they came. They have a tournament game at noon today or whatever. And they're like, we're coming to be a part of this community, even if it's for breakfast. I'm like, yes and amen to that. You need consistent people in your life. You need friendships in your life. And so they went to their friends. They reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Verse 24. And when they had heard it, when they heard all of this, they lifted up their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your holy servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city, they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. It's amazing. Instead of coming together and criticizing and complaining, they're contending, they're crying out to the Lord. They're pouring out to the Lord. And notice how they pray. This isn't like just casual prayer. This is like, God, you are sovereign. Like, I love that. God, you are sovereign. And this has given me so much peace over the years. God, you are absolutely in control. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything that is in it. God is in control. And I think that it can be so easy to say, but so powerful when we get a hold of it in our hearts. See, all the way through the book of Acts, they're talking about what God is doing. God delivered Jesus to be crucified. God raised him from the dead. God poured out his Holy Spirit. God made Jesus both Lord and Christ. God calls people to himself. God glorified Jesus. They're all talking about what God was doing. Even, did you notice it in this prayer? They're like, God, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, they did whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. Even they were praying, they were saying, these leaders who crucified Jesus, these leaders weren't just living their lives on their own volition. No, they were on a leash being held by Almighty God. This was God's sovereign plan. God has a plan and a purpose. And all the way throughout Scripture, we see his plan and purpose to be a number of different things. But he longs for people to be saved. He longs for people to be reunited and reconciled in relationship with himself. But he also longs for people to grow in holiness. This knowing that God is sovereign, knowing that he is in control, leads us to pray, God, align my heart to your purposes. Align my heart to you. And this is powerful because when you and I are feeling threats on every side, when life is out of control all around, it is so good to know that we can look to the one who is totally in control. Totally in control. Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, King Uzziah was a good king. He died. And what's the picture? We see that the Lord is seated on his throne. It's so good to know that God is in control. Do we trust him? Do we believe that? That God, this is not outside of your realm. You are holding this whole world, my life, in the palm of your hands, and your ways are prevailing. And here's the amazing thing. His ways prevail, and his ways are so much greater than our ways. His ways are so much higher. Are so much more amazing than our ways. Do you trust him? Do you believe him? Praying this way, praying the sovereignty of God changes us. Because again, it's coming to the one like, God, you are not thrown off by anything that is happening. But they didn't stop there. They didn't be like, okay, sovereign God, you're just doing whatever you're going to do. Okay, no, they asked, God, would you supply us with what we need? And this is how they pray. Grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal. God, would you give us the boldness? Would you give us the words? Would you allow us to speak that with all our power? But would you also stretch out your hand to heal? Would there be signs and wonders? God, would you provide us with what we need to be your carriers of your message out into this world? Notice how they didn't pray. They didn't pray like, okay, God, just protect us. No, look at this. I love this. Next slide. I think it's up there. They prayed. Here's what they didn't pray for. They didn't pray for easier lives. They didn't pray for their lives to be easier. There it is. They prayed to be stronger men and women. They didn't pray for tasks equal to their powers. They prayed for powers equal to their tasks. Think about that. Okay, God, this is overwhelming. No, they said, God, overwhelm us with yourself so that we're empowered to continue to carry on. And that's what happened. At the end, it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The room was shaken. The room was absolutely shaken. And they went out and continued to speak God's word with great boldness. And all the way throughout the book of Acts, what do we see happening over and over and over again? Is God moving? God's grace empowering people? God's grace changing people's lives? God's grace working in the world? And I think about our situations, and I think about the world that we're in. Think about West Michigan, where we call home. The only one who's going to transform lives, the only one who's going to transform the hardest heart, the only one who's going to transform this world isn't us. Isn't us in our own unique ability, our own unique insight. It is only by the power of God. It is only by a move of God. And I look at how they prayed, and I just wonder, like, what would happen if we prayed or would continue to pray this way on a continual basis? What would happen if we continue to cry out to the Lord? God, would you move? God, would you show up in power? God, would you move at Hope's campus? Would you move in our neighborhoods? Would you move in our lives? Would you move in our families? Would you move in our friendships? God, we are desperate, desperate, desperate for you. See, we live in an information age. You and I, we can hop online, we can hop on ChatGPT and say, hey, would you give us strategies on how to grow a church? Strategies for this and that. And ChatGPT would go, here's a bunch of them. But you know what it wouldn't do? It wouldn't say, tried it actually. What it wouldn't say is just to cry out to God. Yeah. See, so often, if it was up to actually strategies, earthly strategies, if only we just needed the best strategies, then the United States would be saved. If it was that simple, it'd already be done. Just come up with those simple strategies. But then if that happened, who would get the glory? It'd be like, oh, a bunch of people doing this stuff. No, but what it misses is a simple thing that we see over and over in the book of Acts, and it's people crying out to God. We need a fresh awakening when it comes to being a people of prayer. May we never stop being a people who are crying out to God. And again, it's not a program. It's not about activity or we got to busy ourselves. No, it's about intimacy with the Lord, walking in fellowship with Him. And so this week, my prayer is that you would sign up on Friday to join us 24 hours of prayer on Friday, joining with other churches in this area to have unbroken prayer from May 1 to May 31. And our day is Friday. Take an hour. Pray at work. Pray as you drive. Pray in your house. Join us in prayer in that way. Continue to have an inner life of prayer. Continue to pour out your heart before the Lord. Continue to read through the book of Acts, noticing how the church is praying. Because my desire is that we would continue to be known as a people who are so dependent on the Lord and living our lives in that way. Well, let's pray. Here's how I want to end this morning. Again, like Jen was saying, there's a group of us. We'll just get together at 9:30-ish. We'll make it more 9:30 in the future. And we just say, Lord, what's on your heart? What's on your heart for this community this morning? And here's a couple things that we just kind of sensed that may be from the Lord, may not.
But just that there are people that are coming today, that you in this room, you truly need to lay down your burdens at the feet of Jesus. Just truly lay them down. And to truly trust the Lord. See, so often we can lay them down at His feet just to pick them right back up again. Be like, I got this. Lay them down at the feet of the cross. Lay them down at the feet of Jesus. And there's another thing that came to mind too, is that there's some that are weary here. You've prayed and prayed and prayed, and things haven't changed. That's why we started the service with Isaiah 40. Those who wait on the Lord, their strength will be renewed. The encouragement to you today is to continue. To continue, to not give up, but to continue to persevere. To continue to pour out your heart before the Lord. And then lastly, there's some in the storm, in the midst of just the wind and the waves raging all around you, that the Lord gives peace to those who are in the midst of the storm. Peace in the midst of pain, peace in the midst of persecution, peace in the midst of trials. And so if this resonates with any of you, as we wrap up and start to put things away, there are going to be people in this room to my right, your left, who would be willing to pray with you. But I'm going to invite you to stand right now. And let's just close out our gathering, just doing this, just by all lifting up your hands and singing that doxology that we started the service with. So just lift up your hands and let's sing this together. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Yeah, Father, we praise you. We praise you, Son. We praise you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you for every gift that you give us. And now, would you fill your people with your Holy Spirit? Would you empower us to speak your words with great boldness? Would you pour out signs and wonders through your servant, Jesus? Would you open up blind eyes? Would you open up deaf ears? Would you heal the sick, all for the glory of Jesus? Would you just move in this area, move in our lives, move in our relationships, move in our families, all for the glory of Jesus? And God, as we go from this place, send us, direct us through the power of your Holy Spirit. And may we come back next week filled with testimonies of what you've done, all for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name.